Hello and welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast, which comes to you weekly from the McHugh Center at the University of Virginia. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com, and joining me today is Kim McNeil, Associate Head Coach of the UVA Women's Basketball Team, which opens its season Friday night at Middle Tennessee State. Kim, I know the team is traveling to Tennessee this evening, so I appreciate, and you got to get practice in before that, so I appreciate you stopping by.
Are
you
no ready? Problem.
You ready for another season?
You know, it's crazy. I was just thinking the other day, we play Friday? I feel like October just blasted through. Like, did we even have an October? And I think this has been the quickest preseason that I've been a part of.
A lot of UVA fans are probably not familiar with Middle Tennessee women's basketball, mm-hmm. but this will be a major challenge Friday night, especially on the road, won't it?
It will be a huge test for us. When you think of a Middle Tennessee State, you think of one of those mid-majors that you don't really look at as a mid-major because year after year they're in the NCAA tournament. Year after year they're predicted to win their conference. I think they're predicted to win their conference this year. And just for the fans out there, if you want to put them in the mind of like a JMU, that's the kind of environment that we will see on Friday without the huge rival between Virginia and JMU. So
this is a time of significant change for women's college basketball thanks to a number of new rules that have gone into effect this season. Before we talk in detail about the actual rule changes, what was the driving force behind them? Were the coaches pushing for changes? Or,
you know, I think there, when you think about the changes and why, I think there's two reasons that kind of stand out. They're trying to put our game more on the FIBA level, mm-hmm. you know, going to the four quarters and all those rules. So trying to put everybody on the same level. And then the other driving point, I think, was just trying to speed the game up and make it faster so that we can get more fans, you know, involved. They say, you know, women's game is so slow. So trying to speed the game up with, you know, less timeouts and, you know, you could play a total of 5 minutes without getting a timeout. Or you could play, if somebody calls a timeout in the first quarter, 30 seconds.
Yeah, you could play 9 minutes
exactly.
And 30 seconds.
Without a stoppage, like that,
which will take some getting used to for people.
It will.
Because I think people are conditioned to have that timeout essentially every 4 minutes.
Yeah.
You mentioned one of the – I think the thing that will jump out to fans the most when they go to a game or watch a game is the fact that there are no longer halves. There are 4 10-minute – they call them periods.
Yes.
I don't know why they're not calling them quarters.
Yeah.
But y'all have had two close scrimmages.
Mm-hmm.
Did it feel different, you know, in that setting? I mean, did you conduct them as games with the quarters and – did it feel noticeably different?
We did. Both of our scrimmages that we had, we played them like real games. So we played four quarters, had periods, whatever you want to call them. And then after that, we did some special situations. But, you know, it was a little different because sometimes, you know, depending on the game, we'll say, let's take this and play them in four-minute stretches, mm-hmm. you know, to the media. Well, obviously, you can't do it anymore. And I think for me, I looked at the stat sheet and watched by quarters. They beat us that quarter or they, you know, we won that quarter or whatever. So from that period, it changed a little bit. But, you know, it's still basketball. You know, we still got the same goal. We still got the same ball. You know, we still going to run up and down the same court. So at the end of the day, I think it's still basketball. It's just the young ladies getting used to maybe having to play a little bit longer. I think from coaches, you know, strategizing with your timeouts, end of the game under, you know, 59 seconds, call timeout, advance it. So I think it'll take 4 or 5 games for everyone to get adjusted to those new rules.
If neither coach calls a timeout during a period, there will be a stoppage, the media stoppage at the 5 minute
yes.
mark of each 10 minute period. Coaches now, over the course of a game, have 4 timeouts, and I believe they had 5. So there's 1 fewer timeouts, mm-hmm. which should give a little more flow to the game. Do you think if you find yourself in a stretch where somebody calls a timeout early in a period, will you have to use a timeout to rest the player for rest sake, do you think, or are the players conditioned enough that if they end up having to play 7-8 minutes at a stretch, that's not going to be a big deal?
You know, I think it just depends on the flow of the game. you know, also, you know, the rule changes. There's no more 1-1. So after five shots, I mean, after five fouls in each quarter, you go straight to two shots. So, you know, it was a little different. The first game we played, we went a little bit of a longer stretch. The second game, it felt like the normals because one of the coaches called timeout. Then we had another media at five right after that. So it didn't seem too much of a difference, but we changed our conditioning a little bit, program a little bit this summer. So I think our kids are a little bit more in condition, and we did that, you know, thinking about the new rule changes and that our young ladies may have to play a little bit longer.
You mentioned the change in the free throws. The 1-1 is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the statistics from last season, the players you have back, it looks like a good free throw shooting team. Faith was at 91% almost, which is phenomenal. Michaela, 84. Mm-hmm. Brianna, 82. Lauren was 53, which is a little low. Aaliyah, 75. Sydney, 88. So if you're going up to the line shooting two free throws every time, in theory at least, that could be a good thing for this team, right?
It could. And we have obviously implemented a lot more free throw shooting in practice, especially after, you know, we've gone up and down the court and kids are breathing a little bit harder. So we're doing that more in practice. You know, in a way, I think the refs are going to call the game at least early in the season with a lot of fouls. I think you could see some games going into that two-shot foul pretty early. At least we saw that in our scrimmage. So free throws will become extremely important.
Yeah, I know in the men's side, once again, it's a point of emphasis to reduce the contact.
Yes.
You know, give the offensive player freedom of movement. Is the same thing on the women's side this year?
Yeah, and they're even putting more emphasis on the post game, trying to clean it up a little bit too this year.
The one other, I guess, big change that might jump out at people at the end of a game is that if you call a timeout in the final minute of the fourth period or overtime, if you call it in the backcourt, mm-hmm. you move the ball up to midcourt, right, like in the NBA?
Yeah, it's 59 seconds.
Yeah.
So if you rebound it without putting the ball on the floor off of a made basket, you are allowed to call a timeout, and you don't have to advance it, but you can. And so that's chatter in our coaches' meetings that if we're up, if we're down, what do we do? You know, so I think there'll be a lot of, you know, strategizing, you know, as the season goes on to kind of get a feel for that.
I mean, it obviously makes it easier, doesn't it, to get that last second shot if you're down, you know, 5 seconds or something and you got to get a shot off. If you can move the ball.
Yeah, it puts you closer.
As in the NBA, you're right there.
Yeah.
So what have your impressions been from the two close scrimmages? I mean, you have you got some young players, but you got a lot of veterans back too, mm-hmm. particularly in the perimeter.
You know, I think seeing some maturity. Obviously, with returning pretty much the whole starting lineup, I think that bodes well in our favor. Just seeing new energy in practice and just kind of understanding. I think last year, you know, some of the kids just didn't understand, like, what it took for us to get to where we needed to go. And I think just having that experience and a lot of our young kids getting a lot of minutes. I mean, if you look at our stat sheet, Michaela logged a lot of minutes. Lauren logged a lot of minutes for us. And all those young ladies are coming back. And it's just been a new energy and a new excitement amongst the team.
You only have one senior on the team, Faith Randolph, which means you will have the core of this team, you know, not only this season, but next season, and in some cases the year beyond.
Right.
That too. Three freshmen on the team, one of whom, Monet Jones, is going to play a big role, it sounds like, mm-hmm. you know, from day one. What about that class? It sounds like all three are kind of in different stages, mm-hmm. and Shekinah is dealing with an injury now,
yeah,
right?
Stress fracture.
So what have your impressions been of that group?
You know, I think that as a package, they all have very good basketball IQs. They understand things, and which is allowing us to move a little bit faster than maybe what we've done in the past, to do a little bit more different things defensively, more things defensively than we've done. But, you know, Monet, it has the potential to be a really, really, really good player for us. Just still trying to figure some things out, kind of the pace of the game and the pace that she needs to go at. But she's shown a lot of spark here since the season has started. Deborah, you know, she has a great IQ. She's different. She's different than anybody on our team. So she'll bring you know, a low post game to us. And then once Kaina gets back in from her injury, she'll add more length. You know, it's kind of unfortunate for her that she's going to have to sit out this long because, you know, the game is starting to move and we're getting in games and she needed some of those game minutes in some of our scrimmages. But, you know, she's doing a good job of working on her rehab and anxious to get back.
The three, I don't think I'm forgetting anybody, but the three freshmen on last year's team, Michaela, Leah and Lauren, mm-hmm. all played.
And Jaleesa.
Mm-hmm. But the first three played, you know, all played bigger roles.
Yes.
I think fans are familiar with Michaela. Joanne said at her press conference the other day that both Lauren and Aaliyah have really improved in the offseason. What have you seen from them?
I think from Lauren, it's just being more vocal. I think she's gotten a lot more comfortable. I think she maybe came in last year, you know, kind of – I wouldn't say hiding behind SI, but kind of following SI's lead. And I think just with the amount of game minutes that she was able to get last year helped her grow and mature. And she's really been a leader for that post group. She's looking at herself as more of a scorer. She obviously knows she's got some rebounds that she needs to make up for what we lost. But just her conditioning is so much better than what it was last year. Getting up and down the floor and doing some really good things for us. And Aaliyah, her body has changed. She's gotten stronger. I think she's more confident. She's hitting more shots. And I think she's looking at herself as more of more just not just a three-point shooter. You know, we're harping on her to be more of a rebounder at 6'1". She's one of the tallest kids, you know, on our team. So we need her to rebound. And I've been saying to these guys, you know, all year long, ever since the season ended, that it's not only on the post players to rebound. You know, Aaliyah, you're 6'1". You need to be averaging 5 or 6 rebounds. You know, Ja'Kyra Brown, JB is what I call her, is a phenomenal rebounder for. So I'm putting a lot of pressure on our guards to help make up for that rebounding deficit that we lost with SI.
Yeah, I'm sure there was probably a tendency at times last season for the other players just to think, well, Sarah's going to get that rebound.
Just let her get it.
She was so good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is it fair to say that Aaliyah is a really – really critical player on this team, because it seems like with what you want to do defensively, with her athleticism and her length and her height, that, you know, if she can really blossom into a productive player, then that helps the team in a number of different areas.
She is. I mean, she brings so much length. She brings versatility. She helps us to be able to play different amount of defenses, and she's a huge part of what we're trying to do. And just being able to have, you know, I think too many times we get caught up on who's starting,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just for her to be able, whatever her role may be, to give us valuable time and valuable minutes when she's in the game to do a lot of different things is going to just help us have even more depth. And I think that's going to be huge, too, when you look at the way that the game has changed with the timeouts. The more depth you have, the less you'll see that really being an issue.
One of the players on the team who sometimes gets overlooked, in part, I think, because of the way she plays and her willingness to defer to her teammates, is Brianna Mason, mm-hmm. who's now in her third year. She's played a lot of minutes for you, you know, played a key role. It seems to be kind of a running joke among coaches and players that people are constantly telling her to shoot more, assert herself more. How much of that do you do with her, and what do you think her role on the team is, and what's her upside?
I like to call Bree the silent assassin. Because as you just explained her, she kind of sits back, and I think she defers too much. But when she's on, she's on, and I think she showed that in our first game last year against Ohio State. But Bree, you know, for Coach Corey and I, you know, working with the guards, she's one of the most explosive guards we have. She can get to the rim. She's got the strength. You know, she's a lefty but can go right too. She can shoot the three. She can shoot the pull-up. You know, it's just constantly staying on her, you know, when she's Bree, and she'll look at you. I know. You know, so it's just constantly staying on her.
She tired of people telling her.
I'm sure she does. But, you know, we're going to stay on her as much this year as we have in the past because, you know, we like to say that, you know, we have one of the best guard groups in the ACC. And we need to – and she needs to continue to be aggressive and not, you know, to defer to Michaela and Faith, because she has just as much in her arsenal as they do.
The early signing period started Wednesday. Under NCAA rules, you can only talk about the players who have returned their letters of intent. Right now, that's one, Dominique Toussaint, a 5'10" guard from Christ the King High School in New York City.
Yes.
Faith will be leaving after the season. Is Dominique someone who comes in and helps fill that void, at least partially?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you can ever expect a freshman to kind of come in and fill the void of a player the caliber of Faith and what she's done for our program, you know, over these 4 years. But Dominique will definitely bring some more depth to our team. She will probably be one of the most athletic kids on our team. Just plays with energy. She can shoot the three. She can get to the hole. She's explosive. She loves to defend. So obviously that will help us defensively with her ability to defend. But we're looking forward to a great future for Dominique here at UVA.
You grew up in Bassett.
And nobody's probably ever heard of that place.
A very small town near Martinsville.
Yes.
You played at Radford University before you finished up at the University of Richmond.
Yes.
You coached at Richmond, right, and Radford?
Just Richmond.
And then JMU.
Yes.
And now you're at the University of Virginia. Yes. This is year five now for you. What's this experience been like here, being at UVA and, you know, being in your home state again?
You know, when you grow up in the state of Virginia, the school is Virginia. And I came here as a young kid at many camps under Debbie Ryan. And, you know, just to have the opportunity to come back here, obviously, after being with Joanne at two other places, one being in the state of Virginia, I was extremely excited just to be able to walk around Charlottesville, walk around wherever I am recruiting with that Virginia across my chest. It just made me so extremely proud.
I know Joanne has said that she had hoped to be further along after year four than she was, but I also know she's optimistic about, you know, where the program's headed. Do you share that optimism and that feeling?
I do. You know, I think, you know, when we first got here, we had some wonderful young ladies. You know, Frankie done so much for this program, Lexi, Chelsea, Simone, all those guys, Kelsey Wolf. They done a lot and gave us their all when we got here. And, you know, it's different, you know, playing under someone that recruited you, you learned them, you develop relationships with them, and then all of a sudden here comes this new staff, and, you know, they were great for us. But when you get the opportunity to have all your players that you recruited for two, sometimes 3 years, and really develop those relationships with those young ladies, and they understand your philosophy and what it is you want and what you're trying to do here, it's just different. And this is the first year that we've had that opportunity to have all of our players, you know, that Coach Boyle recruited. So we're extremely excited for this year and for the future for this program.
Before I let you go, let me ask you about your twins, Caden and Gabrielle.
Yes.
They'll turn three in January, right?
January the 4th.
Are they UVA fans through and through? And who are their favorite players on the team?
UVA all the way. Caden's favorite color is orange, and he'll tell you that on numerous occasions. UVA, go who's go, is their favorite chant. You know, from on the men's team, Caden was a huge Justin Anderson fan.
No surprise there.
Love Justin Anderson and still talks about him. On our team, I would have to say, you know, that's a tough one. They love Deborah. They love Faith. Michaela, Leah. I mean, they just love them all. They do. They really do. And they enjoy coming to the games.
That's good. Well, thanks again for your time, Kim.
No
problem.
Best
of luck in Murfreesboro.
Thank you, Jeff.
This is shaping up as an incredibly busy weekend for UVA athletics in Charlottesville with women's soccer, men's basketball, men's and women's cross country, volleyball, wrestling, and field hockey in town. And then the home opener for women's basketball is Monday night against Norfolk State at JPJ. Remember to check virginiasports.com for schedules and information on all 25 of our teams. I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. In the meantime, thanks for listening.